We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
But right now, my old partner in crime from the Sports Connection days, the editor and publisher of Baseball Digest, and a man who worked for the New York Yankees for a long, long time. His name is Rick Cerrone, and it's always a pleasure to have him back on the air with me. How you doing, Ricky?
I'm wonderful. I'm not the publisher of Baseball Digest, but thank you for that promotion. Editor-in-chief is all
editor.
I am. But
I always say, I go back to the Art Russ Jr. thing, editor/publisher.
There you go. And that was correct. Of Baseball Magazine, but of Baseball Digest, editor-in-chief.
Editor-in-chief. And don't call me chief. Okay. All right. Well, it's changed an awful lot, baseball has. I mean, watching the National League, where you're getting pitchers going a little bit deeper and bullpens not as dependent upon. And maybe it's just the nature of the two teams involved. But the difference between that game and games where, you know, you get four innings out of your starter and then you go to your bullpen and you get one batter from one guy and then switch and go back. It's really turned into a very, very different game than the one that you and I grew up watching.
Well, it really has, and it's it's really a tale of, I guess, the haves, meaning those teams that have deep starting pitching, and the have-nots, and those teams that are a little thin in terms of numbers and resort to the opener as the Rays did. You've got kind of like a melange of different philosophies going into postseason play, but I think now we're kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of it, and you're going to see, I mean, this Houston Yankees series, I mean, if it lives up to its billing, it could be an all-timer.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you got to look at Houston as a team with the starting pitching that's going to try to get those guys through 7-8 innings sometimes, and the Yankees, who will probably be happy if they can get 4 or 5 good innings out of their starters.
Well, that's absolutely correct, and, I've said before, the teams were placed, back in early September when I was asked. I really believe that this series comes down to who gets the home field. And, the Astros got the home field. And, I just think that's a difference maker in this series. So I think the Yankees have to go down there tonight, tomorrow, get a game down there. Come back 1-1 or up 2-0. And, I think they've got a much better chance than if they come back here 0-2 as they did in 17.
Yeah, and, it was interesting because the Yankees, it didn't seem were going that hard for home field, did it? Down the stretch, they were trying to rest guys. They were doing different things as opposed to, trying to outwin the Astros.
Well, that's certainly the way it seemed, but I know every time they went on the field, they certainly tried to win, and every time they put somebody on the field, that team was capable of winning. But I do think the Yankees had other priorities other than home field, getting their bullpen in the best possible shape, not pitching anybody, 3 days in a row. We'll see how that plays out. I mean, one thing I'll tell you right now is that, Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone are a lot smarter than I am. But I will say that, to me, I think in this series against Houston, home field is extremely important. I'll say one other thing, Richard. I want to be brutally honest, because you're going to have a lot of people on, and all the shows have people on talking, and they give you their opinion of what's going to happen. I learned something a long time ago. Nobody knows anything. If you think you can predict what's going to happen in these series, I mean, did anybody predict that Sanchez would go out there last night and shut down a team that basically blew the doors off the building in Atlanta 2 days earlier? No. So here we are.
That's why you and I get along so well, because I've been saying that the whole show. People want your prediction. Well, I said, well, Astros in six, but that's worth nothing because Verlander lost, gave up three runs the first inning his last game. Greinke didn't look good. You don't know how guys are going to perform in given situations. And, you know, you don't know, like, the Al Weisses and the Brian Doyles and Bucky Dents of the world are guys you don't even consider. You don't even know are on the team in some cases, and they come through and they're the stars.
Well, there is no script. That's the other thing I've said. The series will not go the way anybody predicts it will. Other than, you know, most people have a 50-50 chance of being right. Oh, I'll take the Astros in six or seven. I'll take the Yankees in seven. Whatever. You've got a 50% chance. But you really have no clue as to what can happen because you don't know how people are going to perform. Like, you take tonight. You've got Tanaka against Greinke. I think it's a big advantage for the Astros. I know that their series got stretched out, so therefore they don't go Verlander Cole games one and two. But they get Greinke pitching game one at Minute Maid Park instead of Greinke pitching game three at Yankee Stadium. I think there's a difference there. But you look at the two pitchers. Greinke has not had a great postseason record. And this guy, I mean, this guy's the only pitcher in baseball to win 10 or more double-digit wins for now 12 straight years. This guy's got a winning percentage of 625, 205 lifetime wins. But he hasn't pitched well in the postseason, and he hasn't really pitched well against the Yankees, although his last start as a Diamondback, he completely shut the Yankees down at Yankee Stadium. So what Greinke do you get? What Tanaka do you get? I feel pretty good about Tanaka giving you a solid performance, but, you know, one team gets three or four runs in the first inning, and you've got a different game and perhaps a different series.
Yeah, and you know, the other interesting thing is the Yankees have played three games in the last 12 days.
Right.
You know, they had that break from Sunday to Friday before they played in the first series, then from Monday now to Saturday. So, you and I have watched football teams when they get byes, get a little bit rusty in the first quarter, maybe even the first half, they're finding their feet. Does baseball, do you think, work the same way, where even though these guys are working out, they're not playing in games and it's different?
I think that's definitely a factor. I really do. And I go back to 1996 when, you know, we quickly dispatched the Baltimore Orioles in the LCS and then had some rain. And then it might have been closer to a week between the end of the LCS, the five-game LCS, and the start of the World Series. And you can see in games one, you know, that's the famous story that I was there for. One of the things like a fly on the wall, I'm in Joe Torre's office before game two of the World Series. George Steinbrenner pokes his head in after we got, you know, knocked around the night before in game one. He says, "Go get him, Joe." You know, and Torre says, "You know, true story. You've heard this before, I'm sure." "Well, I don't know, boss." I says, "You know, I'm sure we're ready or whatever. But don't worry. We're going to Atlanta after tonight. That's my town. We'll go to Atlanta. We'll take three there, and we'll come back and we'll win it here next Saturday." And he looks at me like, "Is this guy crazy?" And just walk doesn't say a word. Just walks away, and that's what happened. So I do think, based on that experience, that it will be a factor. And Aaron Hicks might be a factor because this guy hasn't played since August 3rd. So do you just turn it back on and I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. And that's an interesting decision because you're right. He hasn't played in so long, and all of a sudden he's going against these top-notch pitchers. And even though he's a switch hitter and even though he's a very good defender, you just wonder how he fits into this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot must have gone into that decision. And, you know, the Yankees, I mean, their brain trust led by Brian and then Aaron Boone, I mean, they know something, because it's kind of curious that we're going to put a guy back on our roster that has not played in 2 months. So there's a reason for it, and I think CeCe will likely be on the roster. So, you know, they've made some difficult decisions, and we're going to find out soon enough. But there ain't no script, Richard.
Well, here's where I'll disagree with you a little bit, because I think there is a script. I think they have played this game on computers, this series on computers, forever. You know, I think they looked at the Astros and they, okay, this is our plan. This is, and they've got all this data spit out, and they basically got it charted out to, okay, this guy will go this far. This will happen. Not that it will happen that way, but I think they've tried to plan for every contingency. And with modern computers, you can do that versus in the past where, well, I'm going to let my gut decide what I'm going to do here. It's different.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. They're preparing with all the tools they have, which you can kind of say they're trying to get a script or trying to see how the script works. But there really isn't one. It all comes down to the guy on the mound.
Yeah.
It all comes down to the guy on the mound. I mean, it's a much different game, you know, two nights ago, you know, if Glasnow's not tipping his pitches. And, I mean, that was just, I mean, if you watch that inning and the conversation between the Astros player, they obviously picked something up, you know, and you could see it later on when they showed how he was holding his glove at what height for a fastball, at what height, which is incredible that all of a sudden you would be doing that. But it all comes down to the guy on the mound. Does he have it? Does he, you know, you had Verlander the other night, you know, I mean, Verlander's a Hall of Fame pitcher. You know, he didn't have a location. It's little things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, such a small millimeter of where your pitches are going.
Sure.
So I really believe, I'm really confident that there's no script. And something's going to happen. One of those kids, one of those people that you mentioned that we're not thinking about, you know, is there going to be an Anibal Sanchez that comes up with some ridiculous performance on either side? So,
Rick, I got to ask you this. We only have about a minute mm-hmm. left. You've worked with Joe Girardi.
Right.
Do you see him as being a fit for the Mets, or do you see him and Brody not necessarily getting along, Girardi too strong-willed, whatever? What are your thoughts on that?
Girardi's very strong-willed, but I will say this. If Brody Van Wagenen wants to win, you'll hire a Joe Girardi. I can't make it any more simply than that. He's a winner. And in fact, John Zimmer said that about Joe Girardi as a catcher when somebody dismissed him in the hierarchy of the Yankees. He said, all he does is win. Now, I happen to think the better fit for Girardi is Chicago. And I'm not speaking for Joe, but I'd like to think that's the job he might prefer. But you want to win, you hire a Joe Girardi.
What about Showalter?
You know what? There's another one. I mean, you want to win, you hire a Buck Showalter because you're going to win. I mean, if you got the horses, and the Mets sort of do, the Cubs do. I think that Showalter's been away a little bit longer than maybe Joe, a little older. So I think it's going to be a little tougher for Buck. But those are the guys. If you want to win, you hire those guys.
Okay. Rick, as always, a pleasure, and we'll do it again real soon.
Absolutely, Richard. Look forward to it anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.